Our guest for today is Red Henry. Red Henry's been in bluegrass for a long, long time. Kind of a family band with Red Henry, Murphy Henry, Casey Henry, and Chris Henry. Red and Chris have just released an album entitled Flying High on Bluegrass. There's a reason for the title. You'll find out in the second hour. We chat with Red about all the music he's been into, all the other extracurriculars, which are pretty fascinating, I think. I've always enjoyed Red's perspective on the world. Second hour, Red Henry. Well, we just heard a really interesting tune by the name of Old Joe Quark. And it fits right into the fact that we're going to lead into my discussion with Red Henry here on Unreal Bluegrass. First time ever, Red. Red, how are you?
Well, doing great. It's really fine to be with you. I really appreciate it.
I've known of you for a long time. Met you one time, insignificant to you, but I remember clearly. It was an IBMA event, and you were at the booth for the Murphy.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Yes, I wish I could have made IBMA more times and seen you once a year.
And you gave me a big old fat thumb pick, which is what I was getting into at the time. For my hand.
Very good.
Listen, the reason I wanted to speak to you, many reasons, but the most urgent one, is the brand new album with Red and Christopher Henry, Flying High on Bluegrass. And I've enjoyed it. 22 cuts on it. You gave it to me a while ago, and I meant to catch up with you and just kind of chat about it a little bit.
That's great. I always like talking about our recordings.
And it's on a label. Is it Arendem? How do you pronounce that, Fred?
That's Arendem Music.
Okay.
We needed a publishing company name, and so we came up with Murphy and I were Arendem Music, Arendem Records.
Good. Listen, before we get into the album and some other things, I want people to know a little more about Red Henry. But how long did it take you to put this album together?
We took about 5 or 6 months in occasional recording sessions in several different locations. Fortunately, Christopher has a very flexible, high-grade recording setup that he can bring anywhere. And so some of it was in Winchester, Virginia, and some was in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Let's talk a little about the family. Everybody seems to play music. I'm aware of all of them. I know Casey from his playing, and you, and Murphy, and of course, Chris. But let's talk a little bit about the Murphy Method family. How about that?
Right. Well, Murphy and I began playing music when I got out of the Air Force in 75, and we've never had respectable jobs. We just played bluegrass music. and we had a full-time band for 11 years, playing music out of Florida and Georgia mostly, and then moved to Virginia. And both our kids, Casey and Christopher, decided to play music professionally themselves. And, of course, this has been a great pleasure for us to see both of them playing, performing a good bit, and doing a lot of teaching.
You, the title of the album, Flying High on Bluegrass, of course, you're both in an airplane. I don't know what you're flying, but I know you mentioned then that you left the military. You were a pilot.
Right. I flew big C-141 cargo jets for several years in the Air Force. And then, oddly enough, you might say I didn't fly at all. Never even got in an airplane until about 30 years later when Murphy had the idea of sending me back to flight school at the local airport. And I'll testify that learning to fly in your 60s is a longer, harder process than if you're in your 20s.
Well, I know you fly a lot. For people that follow Red, if you don't follow Red on social media, you should. He's always putting out his flight plans and where he's been, how many turns he's done, and how many landings he's made, and how many takeoffs he's made on each little trip. It's just kind of interesting. And neat photographs. Every once in a while, you pop up with some really beautiful nighttime scenes and just visions of where you're flying around in the neighborhood.
Well, I enjoy sharing it, you know. Flying is a good time, and I think it ought to be out there.
Another thing that you do, Red, and I have not forgotten, I want you to explain Old Joe Quark for me, but you are very involved in astronomy. Off the air, I mentioned to you that was one of my passions and one of the things I was going to commit my life to. I did not. But tell me a little bit, because you reuse eyepieces and make them available for people who want to start up in astronomy, I guess put a telescope together in their backyard. You are very much into astronomy at a level that, I guess there's nothing between amateur and professional. I don't know that you get paid for it, but you have a high degree of proficiency in astronomy, I think.
Well, I'm fairly active that way. I started astronomy in 1958 at age 10 with a Christmas telescope, And now I've got a pretty large instrument to use. But what I've had a good time doing recently is accumulating old binoculars, old broken, out-of-focus, out-of-line binoculars off eBay as cheap as I can get them. I take the eyepieces out of them and send them to beginning astronomers who need them because the binocular eyepieces are a lot better than the ones that come with beginning telescopes. And so I've been doing that. I think I've set out 318 eyepieces in the last 2.5 years.
That's incredible. And again, on social media, you can see Red will have a batch to go out. And if it's something that you're looking to dip your toe into, he'll help you out with an eyepiece to get started.
Right. I try to promote the idea, and I hope that some other people will start doing the same thing.
It's one other thing that I happen to know about you. We have a mutual friend. I didn't mention in this pre-call discussion. Ira Gitlin tells me that you're pretty good at reading old documents.
Oh, Ira. Yes, Ira, quite the bluegrass intellectual,
yeah.
A very fine musician, and we've had him with us on several gigs. Always enjoy being around Ira because he's a very smart person and knows a great deal about some things I'm interested in.
And he likes your way with languages and reading ancient texts, and he told me twice at Grey Fox, we were standing in line to get lunch and talking about different things, and he mentioned that to me, and I thought, well, there's another facet of Red Henry that I think, for background purposes, people ought to know about. How do you get into something like that?
Well, back in school, I was interested in reading older English versions, and read Chaucer in Middle English. In the last 30 years or so, I've started to go further and further back, going back to Old English, the earliest recorded versions of our language. And I enjoy reading those things, although, of course, I need to keep some dictionaries close by me trying to read that because it doesn't look anything like what we talked today.
No, it does not. Chaucer, the Canterbury Tales, I assume you're talking about other things also. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, I remember when I was in college, that was one we had to spit our way through to try to learn the old texts.
Boy, that is a tough one. That's a tough dialect for Green Knight.
Yeah. Listen, I wanted to flesh those things out for you. I want you to tell me about this tune that I think was written by the banjo player. I opened the show with old Joe Clark. Tell me a little bit. It's not old Joe Clark, although you tell me why it's the same and not the same.
Well, one of my mentors when I started playing in 1967 was a fellow about a year older named Mike Johnson, and I've picked with him a good deal ever since. And wonder of wonders, in the year 2000, he became my brother-in-law when he married Murphy's sister, Arjun. And I like his playing a lot. He's very original, very imaginative banjo player with a huge vocabulary of banjo techniques. And he came up with this name. It's just typical of him to find a name like this, Old Joe Quark, play on the old fiddle tune, of course, and to have a very entertaining melody on it, too.
Every once in a while, I can catch a glimpse. It's Quark with a Q as opposed to Old Joe Clark, of course, and which is on the album also. So just if people want to compare the two, they can drop down and listen to the instrumental of Old Joe Clark. But Quark, to me, is a subatomic particle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I don't see many bluegrass tunes with that caption to it.
No, not many of them get into physics.
The album, as I said, is 22. You have a lot of guests. 22 pieces, you have a lot of guests. You might want to let the listeners know who they are and how you gathered all those people together for this project.
Yes, Mike and Murphy's sister Arjun down in Clarksville, Georgia, appear on 7 or 8 of the tracks. They're some of our very favorite people to play music with, of course. Back here in Winchester, where we were doing quite a bit of recording, we got our friend Marshall Wilburn to play bass on quite a number of these, on lots of these. And so we just have a good time playing music with these folks, you know. And our friend Chris Lovelace, a very fine singer and rhythm guitar player, although he's not known in bluegrass, here in the local area, helped us out on several tracks as well. But one thing that we're really kind of proud of is that Christopher, as you may know, has played a good deal in the last several years with Peter Rowan.
Yes.
Playing mandolin and singing tenor with him. And Christopher got Peter to sing the high part on two of the numbers on the album, Never Again and When the Golden Leaves Begin to Fall. And, of course, that's the kind of material where Peter really knows how to do it and really enhanced the process, I think, of the music.
Those are two of the songs that you mentioned that are just, you might call right down the middle of the pike, bluegrassy sound. You also have on here, and I'm not, I don't mean to be exclusive, but if people want to know what's filled out, Angel Band, Black Mountain Rag, you do play, of course, Old Joe Clark as far as music that they might want to hear from older time, Fork Deer. There's a lot of Linda Lou. There's a lot of great tunes, and you don't try to reproduce any sound. I think that obviously you and your son are more adept at just playing the melody, adding things to it or whatever. You don't get too far afield. I don't want to suggest that, but you do a lot of things that are very traditional and a lot of things that are not.
Yeah, we have our own approach to it, but this is really the most bluegrass-centric album, you might say, that we've made. I brought out six CDs, I think, since about 2008, and this is the one with, I think, no original material on it, which is a departure since Christopher is such a great songwriter, and I have usually some original tunes. But in this case, we just stuck with straight bluegrass material and really enjoyed what we were doing. You know, it's a different concept for us. We were also concentrating a lot more on one of the things we do best, which is play these father and son mandolin tunes, mandolin duets, as you might say, twin mandolin tunes, because we've done that ever since Chris started playing at age 11, and we had an awful lot of them ready to go, and we have really recorded very few of them before, and so we put quite a number of those twin mandolin tunes on the CD.
And you know, you just can't, if you're starting off an album with Soldier's Joy, and you're ending with Old Joe Clark and Doris, and throw in Fork Deer. I mean, this has to be a mandolin player's a delight, this entire album, because the recordings are great, but just a lot of nice stuff that you and Chris do together on some of these old tunes.
Thank you. We do enjoy doing that mandolin work. And also, thank you for mentioning Doris. I hadn't mentioned it before. This is a composition by our friend and recording and performing mentor, Gamble Rogers. I don't know if you ever saw Gamble perform, but he was a consummate stage presence, possibly the best Travis-style guitar picker since Travis, and he could tell stories on stage better than anyone I know. But Doris is a particularly powerful song, and so we chose to put it on as a surprise cut a little bit after the end of the rest of the CD.
Let's take a minute here. We mentioned that the title of the album is Flying High on Bluegrass, and your time in the air. There is a tune on here that I think that you wrote, The Tale of the Old 69.
Yes, that's right. That was written, I think, in about 1973, one time when I was flying at high altitude along the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And it just came to me. It's modeled on an old train wreck song. What was it, the wreck of the 1262, but that's okay, I think, because so many of the old train wreck songs were modeled on each other anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Tale of the Old 69 is dedicated to all the people I flew airplanes with in the Air Force a long time ago.
Well, let's take a second and listen to that, and I'll come right back with my guest for today, Red Henry. Let's take a listen to The Tale of the Old 69, which is off Red and Christopher Henry's Flying High on Bluegrass.
Come round and I'll tell you a story, a legend long hallowed by time, of a C-141 in all her glory. It's the tale of the old 69, her pilot for old, bold and careful, the engineers both tried and true. And the love they were sleeping, so brave were the men and her crew. Athene control, good morning, MAC 50269. We left Torrejon base this morning, and we got to get to Athens on time. Well, this is Athene, I hear you, MAC 20569. You fly safe, you follow all my orders, I get you to Athene just fine. Thank you. kind of thingy, now hear me. I can't let you land for a while. The general is shooting approaches both south of the field at 15 miles. They held there for nearly 4 hours, just burning gas around and around. The general kept shooting approaches and finally got his wheels on the ground. Athena were mighty low on fuel, we're down less than 4,000 pounds. He started his approach, but he didn't have the gas. He flamed out before he got it down. He tried to stretch his glide, but couldn't make it. The plane went down in the salty brine. And all that could be seen above the stormy tossing waves was the tale of the old 69. Have all heard my sad story, a legend all hallowed by time. The C-141, the only song ever sung, is the tale of the old 69.
And there you have it, the tale of the old 69.
That was Tale of the Old 69, written by Red Henry, who's my guest today on Unreal Bluegrass. I enjoy the concept of the album, Flying High on Bluegrass. I really enjoy the interplay. Of course, I guess you and your son have been playing together for a while, which makes it kind of comfortable and also must be fun for the both of you.
Yes, we had a family band with the four of us, starting when Christopher was 11 and Casey was 14, and played quite a number of shows and festivals back then, and just always really enjoyed it. Of course, there's something special about a family band.
Now, Casey, where's Casey these days? I haven't run across her recently.
Well, that's because she's been living here in Winchester, Virginia. She's got two little boys, age 4 and 8, and they just keep her occupied all the time. She's still teaching a good bit. She teaches quite a few lessons.
Okay.
She has her own line of banjo instruction DVDs, and so she stays busy with everything that she's doing, but she just can't get out much.
Casey, if a listener knows, if they don't know, they're going to learn. Casey's an extremely accomplished banjo player. That's what I know her as most. She probably plays a lot of different instruments being in the family, but very accomplished banjo player, and always enjoyed seeing her. More bands than I can recall. She has her own line of instructional material. Let's talk a little bit about, I think that would come under the Murphy method.
Well, it is a branch of our business.
Okay.
We moved to Virginia about 30 years ago, thinking that we'd continue a full-time band, but about that time, the Murphy method took over our lives. This was a line of music instruction, at the time cassette tapes, then videotapes, now DVDs and downloads, with everything taught by ear, note by note, by the teacher on screen. Murphy pioneered this way of teaching, that is, not using anything printed or written down on paper, a long time ago, and we got a lot of flack for it at first, but it certainly has been successful. We've had a lot of very, very faithful students, and the Murphy method is still going strong. We have a line of about 50 or 55, I guess, different DVDs now for all the different bluegrass instruments.
And for the listeners out there, I guess maybe the most popular of all instructional book was the one written by Earl Scruggs, if you're playing a banjo. Now, Murphy method goes beyond that. But so what Red is referring to, the method of playing by ear, Earl Scruggs and Bill Keith, I think Bill actually wrote these tablatures out, and they call them tablatures. And it looks like music. And it's really placements to where you put your finger and what strings are open and what fingers you use and things like that. Very, very popular. Sonny Osborne had a book out just around the same time or right before. And the Murphy method, you have videos, you have books with it, but you're not just telling people where to put their put their fingers. This is the way I interpret it, Red. You help me out here. But to me, it's more like learn by what you're seeing and what you're hearing, and then you'll take away a little bit more with it because your ear will be trained and your head will be trained a little bit more than if someone takes your paper away with a tablature on it, you might get lost.
Exactly. We don't use anything on paper. Murphy teaches every tune line by line, lick by lick, just literally note by note. And when people learn this way, learning by ear, we find that they have better retention, they remember the tunes better, and they play with better tone and better timing than if they had tried to learn from paper. And so it's been a successful thing for us, and we really believe that it works.
I know there's a lot of people that use it and swear by it. Was it a couple of years ago that I was in Raleigh that Murphy got an award, major award from IBMA, I think, right?
Yes. Yes, she had gotten a print media award for her book entitled Pretty Good for a Girl,
That's right.
Women in Bluegrass,
That's
which
right.
Was a meticulously researched account of women in bluegrass from the earliest days down to 1990. And Murphy had spent about 10 years gathering information from hundreds and hundreds of women who had played bluegrass professionally, and then had published a lot of this in major newsletter columns and then her own Women in Bluegrass newsletter. But then she was invited by the University of Illinois Press to put it in a book, and she did that. And we're very proud of that, of course.
Well, I think so. And I'm talking to Red Henry. And, Red, I don't mean to divert off of other you have so many issues involving with the musicians in your family and Murphy and Casey and Chris. And we wanted to talk about the flying high on bluegrass. We've touched on it a little bit, but I did want to give you the opportunity to brag on Murphy for this reason alone. Look at how many women are now in bluegrass, Red.
Exactly. It's great to have so much participation from them in bluegrass. And, of course, 40 years ago, it was just not that way.
No.
And we have so much respect for the pioneers in the music. And Murphy was definitely one with the banjo. I can't remember how many times she's gotten the remark, you're the best girl banjo player I ever saw, which, you know, one way is a compliment and another way...
It's a little bit of a slap.
It's the way it was.
Yeah.
And she's a terrific musician, just has so much drive, a lot of drive and energy in her playing. And so the banjo, of course, was the basis of our band sound for so many years.
Mm-hmm. And you should be proud of the whole bluegrass community should be proud of what Murphy was putting forward. And when you look now, when you look at the women that are, and they're so good. It's not that we're trying to make up to them. They're so good at what they do. It's so great that we have a chance to see them sing and play. And it's I knew Murphy was a pioneer, and I knew you wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Exactly, and it's great. For example, you can see videos online. What do they call them? The first women of bluegrass,
yes.
The first women who were named instrumentalist of the year.
That's
on
right.
Their instruments.
Isn't that incredible?
Just a super group there, you know, just very, very amazing players. And so we're very glad to see the trend.
Well, we're talking to Red Henry here, and then we're taking some sidetracks because I think they need to be done, need to be filled out a little bit. But the ultimate reason we were talking, Red, is because of the new Flying High on Bluegrass album, which is 22 cuts. It's one of those albums. I can't think of an album that when I was learning to play banjo that someone said get this fiddle banjo or get this fiddle album or this album. But this is one that I would say that if you want to hear some really nice mandolin or you just want to play along with it. This is a great album to listen to. There's a lot of music on it, but it's also just the good stuff that, you know, as progressed as people get in their playing, they need to go back and hear the old styles and the old tunes, and you do pay good homage to all those great sounds. And I mean, gosh, how many traditional songs are on here? I mean, you got Arkansas Traveler and Soldier's Joy and all those things, and it's neat to hear them that people still record them.
Yes, and I don't know why they don't get recorded much. People may think they're commonplace, but there's some wonderful music in the old traditional tunes, you know. And in the bluegrass music itself, three-chord bluegrass, it's hard to beat. And in some of these tracks, for example, as we were speaking about before, Never Again, with Peter Owens singing tenor and Marshall Welburn just singing bass. I think that we really did approach bluegrass music there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Red, I don't want to keep you all day, but I think maybe I'll let you choose what song we go out on. We'll end our conversation, and I'll play whatever tune off of the Flying High on Bluegrass that you want to play as we close it out. Is it Never Again, or which one is it? I don't care.
Sure, let's go for Never Again. Right. This is Christopher singing lead, and myself on the baritone, and Marshall Wilburn on bass.
That's great. Well, listen, I'll play that when I tell you goodbye. Thanks so much, Red, for all the music you've given us and all of the knowledge. I stress this, I do want people to try to follow you on Facebook, not to inundate you, but because there's all kinds of flying information. There's information about astronomy and lenses and optics. And right now, Red's under snow right now. I don't know that you'll be pulling the cover off of your astronomy, off of your work tonight.
Not for a while.
Did you design that? First of all, did you build the telescope that's within that?
Well, I modified the telescope. I have built them before, but in this case, I did build the shed. It's a roll-away shed. It's a large telescope, but I can be observing any time in about a minute or two. And so I'm really glad to have that capability because I'm old and lazy.
Do you do any photography through your telescope?
No, I've never done any astrophotography. I just enjoy having those photons from far away bouncing into my eyeballs.
Okay. Red Henry, I've wanted to talk to you for so long, and I'm so glad you were available. And this is a good impetus to me. People that listen to Unreal Bluegrass have heard cuts from Flying High on Bluegrass. So thank you, Red, and I appreciate Christopher's playing, as always. He did a project, was a year or so ago, it was kind of a solo project, which he sent me the SoundCloud version of, which was gorgeous mandolin music. And it was kind of like a very long piece. I don't remember the name of it. You might recall that. It might be more than a year even.
Oh, yes. Well, he's brought out so much material, about 5 or 6 CDs of original material, and just great stuff, and some of the mandolin compositions are beyond description. Well, very fine. Well, I'm really glad we had the opportunity to do this, so thanks for the chance, and I hope we can do it again.
We will, Red. Thank you so much, and we'll close out of here with Never Again. I'll say goodbye to you now.
Goodbye.
See you.